Now, today, the story from Numbers chapter 11 continues. Okay, we have now, this is the third week that we've been stuck in this chapter. Want you to know we are moving ahead next week. Doesn't get any better, but we're moving ahead. Okay, and the problem that confronts us today in the story that has been told to you already, both in the reading of the scripture and the little drama that went on up there, is that Moses' leadership of the people of Israel is being challenged. Now, last week we learned that the complaining and the grumbling began with the non-Hebrews in the camp. And what they wanted was meat. They were tired of manna. So they began complaining, and the grumbling and the complaining spread throughout the camp. Now, I just want to make it really clear to you that when you grumble and complain, you need to be a little careful, because that's always what happens with grumbling and complaining. Once it begins, it spreads like a cancer through the group. So if you're the guy who begins it, you may want to think twice before you start. It's not usually good. Your mother told you. You remember. You can hear her. She used to say to you, if you don't have anything good to say, shut up. Yeah, no, she said, don't say it. That's right. All right, now, so the grumbling and complaining is spreading throughout the camp so that even the Hebrews began to complain about the gift of God to them, manna, bread that fell from heaven. They all began to want meat. And Moses, as a result of the grumbling and complaining, felt inadequate to lead the people of Israel alone. He felt that he could not meet the community's needs alone. Great Moses felt inadequate. So, he took the matter to God. Always a good thing to do. And God sent meat for the people. You will remember more meat than the people could handle. God blessed them really big. And then God gave Moses 70 men to be his helpers. Now you would think that God's answer to the prayers of Moses would have solved all the problems. But God ordered Moses to consecrate the 70 elders, the helpers that he had appointed. They were to stand around the tabernacle, around the tent of the meeting. And when they did, the Holy Spirit of God fell on them and they prophesied. Last week, remember? In this week, the elders were invested or ordained to the office which they held. They knew that God's Spirit had fallen on them by this act, and the people watching it happen knew that God's Spirit had fallen on them. Everyone knew that these men had been set apart by God to be Moses' helpers in leading the nation of Israel to the promised land. There was no doubt. Now, just a couple more quick observations before we move on. Observation number one, when we pray to God, he hears our prayers and he answers. The text proves it. They asked for meat. They got meat. Moses took the leadership problem to them and it was answered. Now, I just want you to know that while God answers our prayers always, he does not always answer in exactly the way we think that he ought to answer. He always responds. But sometimes we're not any happier with the answer than when we were before we prayed. But God hears our prayers and he answers. Now, observation number two, opposition is normal even among God's people. Every morning I get up and tell myself that. Opposition is normal even among God's people. Now, you would think, honestly, you would think that God's people would always, as a matter of form, comply to the will of God. You would think that. In theory, it ought to be so. But it really is a simple and naive notion. People are people. And there is always opposition. So it was that on the day when the elders were called to the service of consecration, two of them did not come. Now, you met them a little while ago in the praise time. Their names were Eldad and Medad. Great names. They were legitimately named among the elders of the people of Israel. They were legitimately part of the group chosen to help Moses lead the people. But when Moses summoned the elders to the service of ordination, Eldad and Medad did not come. Now, the Bible leaves us in the dark as to why Eldad and Medad did not come. It is clear that they received the summons from Moses just as had the 68 other men involved. But for reasons now lost to us, these two stayed in the camp and did not come out to the service. Now it is clear from the text that Joshua, Moses' trusted aide and helper, regarded what Eldad and Medad did as an act of rebellion against Moses personally. Joshua wanted them killed for disobedience to Moses. Now, we're not given the ins and the outs, but it is clear from the text that Eldad and Medad were unwilling to submit to Moses and acted out against him in open rebellion by refusing to come when he called upon them to come. Now, if I can just be a helpers who won't help are not helpful. Okay? When you say to them, I need you, and they won't respond, it's not helpful. Exactly why they were not willing to help, we don't know. But we can clearly see where they stood by what they did. They were not willing to do as Moses requested. But despite their open rebellion against Moses, Eldad and Medad were called by God to the office of elder. We know that beyond any shadow of doubt, because when the Holy Spirit fell on the 68 others who were gathered at the appropriate place for the service of consecration, it fell on Eldad and Medad too. We know this because, like the others, they prophesied right where they were. Even though not in the designated spot, the Holy Spirit of God fell on Eldad and Medad, and they too prophesied. Now, can I be honest with you? This raises a huge question. Can there really be renegade leaders amongst the people of God? And though I do not like the answer, it is clear. Apparently, there can be such among us. For right here in the text, we find two. And despite the fact that Joshua wants them killed for opposing Moses so openly, Moses tells Joshua to cool his passion because it is misplaced. Now, are you ready? A little honest confession on the part of the pastor. I understand Joshua perfectly. Mm-hmm. When I encounter opposition, I tend to turn into a crusher. Mm-hmm. Some of you have encountered it, I'm afraid. And there are others of you, like me in the group, who understand Joshua too. But Moses looks at the whole thing from a different perspective. Moses knows what we need to remember today. Moses knows, number one, that God knows what he is doing. Even if we don't. But he knows, right? Moses knows that God holds all of us in his hand. So even when the storm of protest rages against us, we don't have to worry. Because we are held in the safety of God's hand. Moses knows that God wants his leaders to set a different example for his people. Godly leaders must walk into the enemy camp, laying our weapons down. Our only defense must be the love of God which surrounds us. Godly leaders must be as Jesus was, entirely surrendered to the will of God. See, opposition, even in the household of God, is apparently normal. And what is abnormal, even today, is the way great Moses looks at it. In the world, you crush the opposition. But how much there is for us to learn about leadership from great Moses, the prophet of God. I just need to make it clear that I'm not saying all this to encourage opposition. It is simply to say that opposition is normal and to be expected. But those who are truly godly will handle it as did great Moses. We must not see opposition as a threat to our leadership. We must remember what Moses knew, that God is still in control. We set a different way, for we know that our Father defends and keeps us. So, we lay our weapons down, praying that the Spirit of God will reign over us and in us and make us one.